Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I would like to take advantage of this opportunity on this Father's Day to apologize to my father for something I did on Father's Day many years ago. It's Whitey Gleason, Kyle Madsen on 95.7 The Game. Thanks for listening. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Years ago, Kyle, and my father's no longer with us, but years ago, this probably would have been 1999 or so. 1999, I gave my father for Father's Day the book A Good Walk Spoiled by John Feinstein. And I want to apologize publicly for that because Father's Day 1998, I gave my father A Good Walk Spoiled by John Feinstein. I gave my dad the same book 2 years in a row on Father's Day. And I had no idea I did it until I gave it to him. And he just had that look when he opened it. You know, I was like, here you go. And as soon as he opened it, the look on his face, like, oh, I gave that to you last year, didn't I? And he was cool about it. But I've always,
that's hilarious, though.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how that happened. Anyway, Dad, sorry about that. But another reason I bring it up, you know, it's a semi-traditional Father's Day gift. Maybe some people are still scrambling. I don't know what to get my dad. And you are very well read, especially when it comes to sports books. And in fact, one of my career goals is to do with Kyle Madsen a sports book podcast. Now, no one will listen to that. And Kyle's very nice about it. He says, oh, I'd love to. I don't have the time. And clearly he knows, like, that is a loser of an idea. But I appreciate that he humors me. Oh, that would be great. Someday.
It would.
Someday.
It would.
I really would love to do that. I know you're very learned when it comes to sports books. But real quick, do you have anything that you could recommend? If somebody's like, my dad's a sports fan, I got to get him something. What's a good sports book?
So there's a couple. I do a lot of baseball reading. The Catcher Was a Spy, I actually just wrapped that one up, about Mo Berg, is a fascinating book about a catcher that played in the early 20th century who went on to become a spy during World War II. But his life just in general, he's a very odd cat, and just reading about him was fascinating. John Shea's book about Willie Mays, 24, is excellent. It's John Shea sitting down talking to Willie Mays and basically narrating and then just putting blurbs of their conversations in. And it's like sitting there listening to Willie Mays talk. It's just a really awesome book. If you don't even have to be a Giants fan, you could just enjoy sports in general. That one's very good. And then Bill Bradley's book, The Kid, about Ted Williams, the kind of comprehensive Ted Williams biography. Whitey, I think I've recommended that one to you, is one of my favorite books as well. Ted Williams, another fascinating human.
It was a great book. Yeah, I got that and read that because of your recommendation, and it's very sad. I'll just say that. I mean, it's fascinating, but it was really sad to learn about the great Ted Williams. I got three real quick, too, if I may. Baseball, and I know you and I have talked about this one. David Halberstam's October 1964 is incredible. Long story short, it's about the demise of the Yankee dynasty, which was brought about, among other reasons, because they were late. The Yankees were late to bring in African-American players, and teams in the National League did that and kicked their asses. Yep. So it's about the Cardinals and the Yankees 1964. Michael Lombardi had a book called Gridiron Genius, and he talks a lot in that book about what he learned from Bill Walsh, and I think it's also Parcells and Belichick, the guys that he worked for. Yeah, and it's really interesting. As a football fan, especially if you have any interest in that 49er dynasty and how they put that together, fascinating. And finally, and I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed anyway, that it's taken me this long to read this one, The Victory Machine by Ethan Strauss, which is about, and I'm almost done with that. I just picked that up last week, And that's really interesting, Kyle.
I'm a very slow reader. Like, I will read a few pages here and a few pages there. I blew through Victory Machine in like a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I never read books that quickly. But like you said, it's just so, because it's so near, like it just happened. Like this stuff, Kevin Durant in Golden State just happened. And seeing this behind the scenes where it's, you know, little stories and pieces that you've heard, but Strauss really building that whole picture is a fascinating, fascinating angle on that team.
Yeah, very well written. It's an excellent book. So there you go. Of course, KD knocked out of the playoffs last night. The more I read it, I've come up with this theory, Kyle. I don't know. But Kevin Durant, you know, it seems clear that the Warriors had a pretty good inkling when that 2018-19 season started that, hey, I think he might go.
Right.
And it seems to me that, you know, Durant wanted to leave, and maybe he looked around on some level and thought, you know, this is a pretty good situation. I think maybe subconsciously he had to come up with reasons to leave. Because he realized it was a good situation. Yeah, and maybe, you know, it was just, well, I want to get mine. So then it was he got into it with Kerr and, of course, the Draymond thing and the fans don't appreciate me. I mean, he's just such a fascinating guy, and I wish him the best. It makes me sad that he seemed like he wasn't happy here. The whole thing about Draymond and Kevin Durant, to me, Draymond yelled at Kevin Durant because they knew he was leaving.
Yes.
Kevin Durant didn't leave because Draymond yelled at him. I don't know, but that's the way I read it.
I read it the exact same way. I don't think that it helped, but it was definitely born from Draymond going like, look, you're not in this with us. Like, you're signing these one-year deals because you're not committed to us. And I think that's why Draymond kind of lashed out the way he did. I agree with you. Completely. There are a number of reasons Kevin Durant left, and we may never know the real kind of big thing, but I think it was an accumulation of things that you just laid out. And I think the Warriors kind of knew he was out the door, and I don't think it was Durant went, hey, it's Draymond or me. I think he decided that he wasn't being fulfilled the way he thought he would personally in Golden State, and so he went to try and find that fulfillment elsewhere. That's extremely relatable.
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted to do radio since I was a little kid, and right out of college I did customer service basically for a video streaming company in Arizona, and it was a great job, great perks, the pay was fine, it's cheap to live in Arizona if you can get past the heat. It was great, but I'm not as happy here as I would be if I was doing what I love to do. So it's just, he's a relatable guy, and I don't know. I didn't have any problem with the way he kind of handled himself.
By the way, where are you now and how hot is it where you are now? You mentioned Arizona heat. It's pretty hot in many parts of Northern California right now. Are you doing okay with the heat on this Father's Day?
My balls was hot.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, so I am currently in San Francisco, obviously doing a show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right,
but in my hometown of Oakley, yeah, it's been, you know, 108, 109.
Yeah.
It's been very hot the further kind of east you go, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Tail
hang
no.
in there. Yeah. It's nice though. It's Father's Day. It's summer. Let's go swimming.
The problem is my HVAC system went down like Monday or maybe Sunday. So it's been like 87 to 90 degrees in my house.
Well, here's a recommendation. I don't know. You got to be careful
please.
How you do this. It's really hot where we are, like you said, like 108. And so I've noticed the last couple of days, these squirrels, they come and they lay on the grass in the shade and they stretch out in the shade. And it looks like, oh, that's cute. But I realize they're desperately trying to lower their body temperatures, whatever they can do, just stretching out. I've never seen them do this, laying down in the grass. So I think if you really get hot, you're going to have to, you know, strip and then just squirrel it on somebody's lawn, Kyle, and be careful about that.
I like that.
I'm so out. I don't know. And please don't say it was my idea, but it's just, there you go. Run with it. Run with it if it works for you.
Sir, sir, what are you doing? I'm squirreling. Whitey Gleason told me to do it.
I'm lowering my body temperature. Yeah. I made up that term, too, by the way. There you go, squirreling. So just be
careful. I'm
going
to bury some nuts in your backyard later.
Get off my lawn.
I'll be back for them in the winter.
Yeah, get off my lawn. Happy, happy Father's Day. On the text line, 888-957-9570. From the 510, this is the first time in a very long time to have no favorite team in the NBA postseason. The league is better than ever for that. Thank you. I admit, I was thinking as this developed, I thought, you know, it's bad for the league. They need Steph in there. They need LeBron, all the ratings. But ratings be damned. I think it is great from a fan's perspective, and I think the league has to find a way to capitalize on this because it's so much fun. From the 831, Durant will never win another NBA title without the Warriors.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to win a title, so I guess maybe, but I would not agree that he cannot win one without the Warriors. He may not, but I have a feeling that team's going to be pretty good next year, Kyle.
If James Harden and Kyrie Irving are healthy, and that's where that texter may, like, I won't hard disagree with them, because health is a major factor in winning a championship. We saw it during the Warriors' whole run. They had health on their side for most of that run, and then at the end the wheels kind of came off, and Durant gets hurt and Clay gets hurt and they lose the championship. I can't count on the Nets to be healthy. So if you told me, if you come from the future 15 years in the future and say, hey, KD never won another one, my jaw's not going to hit the floor. But I'm also not betting against the Nets, assuming it's Kyrie, Harden, Durant, and then whatever free agents want to ring chase there this offseason. So I won't count it out, but I see where that texture is coming from for sure.
From the somebody says you're going to try squirreling. I don't know. Just if you do it, good luck, and please don't say it was my idea.
Say it
from
with Whitey Gleason on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah. Thanks for the tip. LOL. I will be doing that this afternoon to stay cool. You got to find a real cool spot, or it just defeats the whole purpose. Based on what I've seen from the squirrels,
you know,
look around. You know how desperate they must be to do that, Kyle, because I have a dog. And my dog is like, if my dog finds a squirrel out there stretched out, you know, I can't be responsible for what he's going to do. And yet the squirrels, knowing that, you know, they look around like, it's so hot, I'm doing some squirreling. So it seems to work. From the 415, Giannis has seen the light. This is his best opportunity to win, and he knows it. And also from the 415, Clay won't come into form until the second half of the season. Next season will look a lot like this season to start. Which brings us to Clay Thompson. What did you think of Captain Clay and what he had to say this week, Kyle, from his boat?
I was encouraged by the fact that he's not like, oh yeah, day one, I'm back, I'm in there. I like that he's letting people know, hey, this is a 12-month thing. You know, I'm working my way back. Progress is good. But he's not like, oh, I'm back day one. We're going to win a championship. You know, I think that putting a managing expectations with Clay is going to be big, because I think if there's an expectation that he's going to come in and play day one and be awesome and be Clay from the jump, I think that's unrealistic. I think probably the real goal for him is going to be, can he be 85 to 90% of Clay by the playoffs?
And by the way, probably if you know somebody who has a boat or you have a boat, going out on your boat is probably a better way to stay cool than squirreling. I will also say that, okay? I just want to make sure I get that on the record. Clay, of course, posting to Instagram from his boat this week. Here's what Clay had to say, firstly, about the Warriors' goals for next season.
That's the plan, 2022 NBA champs. Man, I miss hooping. I meant that when I said there's nothing like the finals, yo. You got media from all over the world. It's the center of the basketball universe. There's no more I can say, so baby, mine.
Incredible.
By the way, that reminds me of something else in Ethan Strauss's book that, you know, the way everyone loves Clay. It's like, oh, Clay. And apparently, like, if he was late for practice, which occasionally he was, it would be, oh, Clay. And apparently Kevin Durant didn't like that. Like, what is it? Why does everyone give Clay a free pass on everything? What is that about? So that's kind of humorous, too, to me.
Do you blame that? Like, do you see Clay? He's hilarious.
I know.
There's a level of aloofness that Clay carries without, like, being a detriment to society.
Yeah.
And I think when you reach that level of, everybody wants to be that chill all the time. And I think that there's an aspirational aspect to Clay's life that people are just like, man, what a guy. Like, not only is he this awesome athlete, but he's a guy that I want to hang out with. It doesn't matter who you are, who you run with, who you hang out with. Like, everybody relates to Clay.
The first time, Kyle, that I ever had the privilege of doing a radio interview with Clay, it was on this station. It was in the mornings, and it was just a classic Clay experience. It was me and Mark Kreidler and Dibs, and we're talking to Clay. So this is like 2012, maybe 2013. And we're talking to Clay, and I forget where they were, but they're on the road, and we're having a nice conversation, and you can hear background noise. And I pride myself on being able to pick up, hey, what is that sound? And so he would answer and give, you know, good answers, and I realize I know that sound. Hey, Clay, are you watching cartoons? And he's like, oh, yeah, my bad. Let me turn that down. I was like, no, we're good. But it was just to me, it's like, okay, there you go. It's Clay. He's on the road in Milwaukee or wherever, and we're doing a radio interview, and he's watching cartoons.
Oh, hey,
what's
Dan,
not to love about that? Yeah.
Did you get what cartoon he was watching, and do you remember what it was?
I'm not sure. I want to say, and I'm not sure I remember this. I want to say Ren and Stimpy, but I'm really not sure. Yeah.
Clay Ren and Stimpy guy is the most predictable thing of all time. But I think one of the things with Clay is if he was like that and not good, it would be like, why doesn't this guy take anything seriously?
He'd be Swaggy P, right?
Yeah, but he's awesome at basketball. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
this persona is like, hey, you can be awesome at basketball and not be the hard ass, like, oh, grinding all my life, rise and grind. Like, he does all that stuff, but he's just not outward about it. He's going to show you him chilling on his boat instead.
Yeah.
I said earlier I find Kevin Durant very relatable. That I don't find relatable. Like, if you have an issue with the way Clay is perceived, like, fix yourself.
I think if he were not very good, it's an interesting point you raise. I think there would be questions about, well, look at him. He just goofs around all the time. He's not dedicated to his craft. And to your point, you look at the way he performs. Clearly he is. So it's like, yeah, whatever you need to do to get that ready to play, keep doing it. I don't know that I've been watching basketball a long time. I remember when I was there, when someone said, hey, the peach basket, let's cut a hole in the bottom of it. It's like, duh. What a great idea, because we had to climb up on the balcony and get the ball out until someone said, and that actually seriously happened like 10 years into the history of basketball before they figured out, cut a hole in the bottom of the peach basket. Anyway, I've never seen a jump shot as perfect as his. And I remember Dale Ellis, there have been a lot of great shooters of great form, but Clay's form is just like, man, I've never seen anyone shoot like that. Not only does he put up the numbers, but the way he does it is just so textbook, and it's just so aesthetically pleasing to watch him shoot, Kyle.
Yeah, it's just off catch and shoots, coming off a screen. Like, it doesn't – my favorite Clay shot of all time was the one from his famous Game 6 against Oklahoma City, where he's just standing like 8 feet above the top of the key, and Russell Westbrook standing in front of him, and he's got his legs a little bit further apart maybe than normal. He just sizes him up and just pulls and buries it.
Yeah.
And just that level of confidence to be able to pull up and shoot like that. And like you said, have it be perfect despite kind of coming up from an awkward angle. He's one of my favorite players to watch. Like you said, just from an aesthetic standpoint, there's just kind of a beauty to his game that not a lot of people are able to capture. Can I tell a quick secondhand Clay story?
Please. Doesn't even have to be quick. Take your time.
So how many? We got 7 minutes left. All right, I'm stretching this out for you. Take a break, Whitey. No, so I had a buddy who went to school at Boise State. And he was like a manager, an assistant coach, or something with the basketball team. He was with the Boise State basketball team. And they go in to Washington State. And while Clay is there, and they're doing their whole thing before the game, like, yeah, we're going to go win this. Like, da-da-da, Thompson's not that good, blah, blah, blah. So Clay comes in and cashes like back-to-back threes, and the place is going nuts, and they start the game on like a 10-0 run, and the Boise State players are kind of like looking toward their bench, like, are we going to take a timeout? And their coach is like, no, push it. You don't take a timeout. Don't take a timeout. They miss. Clay gets the rebound, gets 2 steps across half court, pulls up and buries it, looks at the Boise State bench and goes, you're going to want that timeout, coach. Unbelievable stuff.
Huh.
Again, wow. not my story, but I had read that on Twitter and then asked the guy about it. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he went through the whole thing. It was just incredible stuff.
Wow. I got to tell you a quick story. It's not a Clay story, but you reminded me of it. Do you remember Harold Presley? Presley played at Villanova and played in the NBA. He was a part of that great Villanova upset. And he played in the NBA for a while. And he had a chance, actually, to go play for the Bulls, but he decided to go play in Italy instead, which is like, oh, well. But anyway, Harold Presley was with the Sacramento Kings, and Dick Motta was the coach, and Dick Motta didn't play him. He just wouldn't play him for some reason. So Harold's like, I got to get my work in. So the day of a game, he says, I know I'm not going to play. So he's running stairs the whole game. Okay, he's running stairs the whole game. But he was a good defensive player. So that night they're playing Philly, and Barkley is just going off, okay, just destroying him. Mm-hmm. So Motta says, Presley, get in there. And Harold's like, oh, no, this is not going to go well. And he says he had no chance. And he says, you know, Barkley just down low from the outside, driving right past him. Barkley runs back by the King's bench and says, hey, you're going to have to get somebody else in here because this guy can't guard me. So, yeah, it's funny what the players say on the floor. But back to Clay, you know, when are we going to get to enjoy once again Clay and that picture-perfect form? Here's Clay from his boat on the timetable for his return.
When you're playing again, I plan on hopefully early next season. I mean, the Achilles is like a 12-month recovery phase. So I also have to factor in my left knee, but I don't want to come back and be half myself. You know what I'm saying? And recovery's going, though. It's slow. The Achilles is tedious. Man, it's lit out today.
That, you know, gave me pause a little bit, just, and it's understandable, but to hear him talk about, hey, it's going to be a while, and hey, you know, I got my knee as well. It's like very, very sobering, understandable, but sobering. How much better? Let's just say Clay, when he does come back, he's close to being Clay again. I don't think that's unreasonable. And maybe he'll be 100%. Who knows? How much better would the return of Clay make this Warrior team? Obviously, there's a lot of other things you're going to have to do, improve the bench. But I think a lot of Warrior fans look at that and go, hey, we're good. You get Clay back, we're good. I don't think they're there. But if he can shoot and defend, that's the biggest worry to me. I mean, this definitely, to me, it's like clearly they're a playoff team next year at the very least.
Yeah, they. If you just run back, and I know it's not going to be the exact same roster, but if you just run back this roster and replace Kelly Oubre with Clay Thompson, that's probably six more wins. I'm just picking a number. Probably six mm-hmm. more wins just by itself. Maybe more,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I really like about the Warriors roster and the way they're going to be able to bring Clay along is I said this earlier, and somebody on the text line said it as well, from the 415, Clay won't come into form until the second half of the season, and I agree with that. And I think that's something that we're going to have to kind of monitor, because if he does round into form, like Kevin Durant this year just had a remarkable playoff run coming off the torn Achilles. Clay's not going to have the same amount of time to kind of recover and get better, but if he can ease his way into basketball action and they're making a playoff run, I think Clay helps significantly. And if they're in the same spot where they're kind of pushing, you know, end of the season, they're looking at, you know, six seed maybe, I think he can get them over the hump where they're not in the play-in situation next year. And if mm-hmm. Andrew Wiggins is going to defend at the level that he defended at this year, that takes a lot of the defensive onus off Clay. So now Clay can defend, you know, maybe not the best wing, but the second best wing. And that's where I think we're going to see if there's any noticeable dip in his game. I think it's going to be defensively.
Yeah, I agree with you. And for as much as we love watching the Warriors score and the way they shoot, and I think they proved it this year, defense is still the foundation of everything they do. It was when they were winning championships, and it was last year. They were a really good defensive team, which I think really is a credit not only to the players, but to Steve Kerr and his staff. But as far as next year goes, how do the Warriors climb back into contention? Let's say, you know, we all would love to see him go out and get a superstar, or at least a legitimate star. And the more you look at it, Kyle, we don't know everything that's going to happen yet, obviously, but it's looking less likely that that guy is there. So is it realistic to think that the Warriors, without going out and getting, you know, an impact player, can they be contenders again? I think it would come down to, if that's the case, you just have to improve the bench enough, right, to where you're a much better team when Steph and Draymond are not on the floor. And that also, with Clay coming back, there again, there's another area in which you can improve dramatically over last year.
Yeah, I think that's I don't think we're going to see a big splash trade or signing or something like that, because I do think they think they're close. And their big offseason addition is going to be Clay. And if Clay can, Clay and whatever draft pick, you know, you mentioned earlier, the lottery's on Tuesday, we'll get a better idea of what the Warriors look like. But they're going to get, hopefully, a relatively high draft pick and Clay coming back. So now if you can go add Goran Dragic or somebody like that, Patty Mills, I think, is a free agent. I think that's kind of the free agent, the level of free agent. Kelly Olynyk's another name that's come up a lot. If you can add those guys to where your bench can now not only survive without Curry, but, you know, hold on to leads and maybe expand them a little bit, it takes a little bit of the onus off Steph. It allows Clay to come along a little bit slower, where he doesn't need to play a ton of minutes early on. And I think that's where we're going to see the Warriors try and improve, where they can go 9, 10, 11 deep and feel really good about it.
Two of the names you mentioned there are especially interesting given the Warriors' current circumstances. So we'll look at that coming up. Also, we'll go from Clay to Trey. Candlestick Chronicles' Kyle Madsen is going to join us when we return. It's Whitey and Kyle. Oh, he's
good
been here
booking.
All day. Yeah. Happy Father's Day, 95.7 The Game.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I think if you really get hot, you're going to have to, you know, strip and then just squirrel it on somebody's lawn, Kyle, and be careful about that. Please don't say it was my idea, but it's just, there you go. Run with it. Run with it if it works for you.
Sir, oh, sir, sir, what are you doing? I'm squirreling.
Oh, yeah. Now back to 95.7 The Game.
I think this is a song that the squirrels were kind of singing when they were squirreling in my back lawn. It's Whitey Gleason, Kyle Madsen. Thank you very much for being with us on this Father's Day on 95.7 The Game. I just want, if I may, Kyle, real quickly take a moment to thank my wife, Shinya. She made me something today for Father's Day she'd never made. She said it's called omuraisu. It's like a Japanese omelet, omuraisu. And it was delicious rice, and she put some spam in it with some egg. It was really good. Later, I know nobody cares, but I think we'll be playing some basketball in the swimming pool. And just the offer stands, Kyle, Evan, Sterling, for anybody, you come to the pool here, and if you can jump off the rock at one end, release the ball in the air, and have it go in the basket at the other end, $5. $5. That's always been the tradition here at Casa de Whitey.
I didn't hear a word you were saying because I am locked into omuraisu right now.
It's very good. Yeah.
Is
it was very, very, very
so
tasty.
So do I have this right? It is like an omelet made with fried rice, fried scrambled eggs, and topped with ketchup.
It had a little ketchup on top. It is just basically rice. You could use fried rice. It wasn't fried rice, but she put spam in it. And it was wrapped in a fried egg or an omelet egg. And, she said, I've never done this before. You know, good luck. And it was like, man, that was perfect. So it was very good.
All right. Well, okay. Yeah. So here's the deal. I'll jump off the rock at one end. I will cash that, the shot I need to make. And then, after I do that, you can keep your $5 damn dollars. I want one of these omuraisu things.
All right. Absolutely.
Dynamite. Yeah. I'll be there in 20 minutes. Goodbye.
Been meaning to have you here because I know we have a wiffle ball thing that we have to settle as well. I'm looking forward to settling our wiffle ball thing, you and I, Kyle. That'll be a lot of fun, too. So, what do you have any fun plans you can share with us?
Boy,
for the holiday?
That's a great question.
That's a great question. Well, all right, we'll move on. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my family went to lunch today without me, so,
wow.
So they had a great time, I'm sure.
Wowzers!
No, yeah, no, it's unbelievable. Thanks, Bonte. So
I know, Bonte.
So, yeah. I'm gonna head to my folks' house after this. Well, I'm sure there'll be wine and cards and food at some point.
A little bit of the bubbly.
We're a simple family. No, sir. I drink red wine. Keep your bubbles to yourself.
Good for you. Your dad might be listening, so you don't want to tell us what you got him for Father's Day. I got it. Wink, wink. No problem there. We were just
really
talking.
Nice card.
We were just talking about Clay, and as I mentioned, we got to get to Trey as well. I'm really interested, Kyle, to see you being the guy who runs Candlestick Chronicles. I'm wondering if I'm reading this Trey Lance situation right, and I think this could get really interesting. But we'll see what you make of that coming up. We were talking about Clay and his return to the Warriors on the text line here from the 925. KD had 18 and a half months to rehab the one injury before he had to play. Clay is trying to do it in 10 months. Yeah, and we just don't know the extent of the injury. So much of it depends on the extent of the injury. And it does sound from what Clay's saying that, it's fairly serious. But take, for example, and I know these are two different injuries, Kyle, but look at Joel Embiid. He tore his meniscus, right? It's like, he's done. Well, he's playing. Well, how can that be? Well, it depends. It's, sometimes you have a very slight tear. It's still a torn meniscus. So Fingers crossed that Clay can come back. I know – Rudy Gay tore his Achilles in January a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the summer, he's like, okay, I'm back on the floor. So it just depends on a lot of variables. Fingers crossed. Yeah. But you mentioned a couple of names here that you think the Warriors might be able to pursue or that maybe they should pursue. And you mentioned Patty Mills and Goran Dragic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing there, and you probably know this, Patty Mills, Spurs, Goran Dragic, Heat, both those teams, according to reports, for what that's worth, they are believed to have interest in Kelly Oubre. So I'm wondering if maybe, there's a lot of moving parts here, but we may be talking like a sign and trade possibility there, right?
Yeah, Goran Dragic has an $18 million club option, so I'm not 100% sure if Miami is going to pick that up. If they don't, though, he's the kind of backup point guard I think that would help Golden State a lot. And then same thing goes for Patty Mills, although he's going to be unrestricted. So I just, that theme of a veteran backup point guard who can run the second unit, score a little bit, definitely can shoot. That's kind of what I think the Warriors need to add, because they're not going to be in a position where they can add like four or five free agents. It's probably going to be two free agents and then I wouldn't
budget,
be
budget free agents, right?
Correct. Yeah. It's, they're not going to be able to go sign. Like if Kawhi Leonard opts out, they're not going to be able to just go sign Kawhi Leonard. Like that's not something they're going to be able to do. So yeah. I think they look for one or two kind of those veteran free agents to help stabilize the bench a little bit. And then I think they, depending on where their draft picks are, it wouldn't surprise me if they try and package their two picks to trade up and bring in one rookie instead of the two.
Yeah, because let's be honest, last year for much of the year, when Steph was on the bench, the Warriors, basically they were just squirreling. Am I right? I mean, when you had Steph on the bench, they're just like, all right, guys, we're just squirreling until he can come back in the game. No, it was almost like a hockey team killing a penalty at times last year.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Watching the second unit became looking at the scores table to see when Steph was going to head there.
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
just keeping an eye on the score to make sure that they weren't either expanding a deficit or losing a lead. And I think you're right. It was very much just a house of cards trying to piece things together and not have it be a total disaster. If they can just, I think they can battle for a six seed. Forget Clay for a second. They battle for a six seed last year if they're just a little bit deeper.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't think that's that crazy of a limb to go out on. If they're a little bit healthier and a little bit deeper, I think they're in a much better spot. But the Bradley Wanamaker thing just didn't work out, and then trying to figure out who was going to run the second unit was kind of an adventure. So if they could just stabilize that with a solid NBA player, I think that helps them a lot just off top.
From the 925 here on the text line, 888-957-9570. Guys, Isaiah Thomas is trying to make a comeback. I love Isaiah Thomas, but, you know, he was never great defensively, and he was a guy, his legs were everything.
Yes.
And once his lower body started breaking down, he wasn't the same player, and I wish him all the best. It would be great if he could get anywhere close to what he once was, but I still don't know that he'd be a great fit for the Warriors. I think they need, you know, as we said, their identity is defense, and I don't know that he ever played enough defense to really be an important part of this team. But fingers crossed and all the best to him.
Yeah, you can't. There's certain players who, Steph, relatively undersized NBA player, you can see where his game is going to age well. I don't see where Isaiah Thomas. I've never seen where Isaiah Thomas's game was going to age very well, because, like you said, when you're 5'7", 5'8", maybe 5'9", I think he's listed at 5'9". You can't, if you have a hip issue.
Yeah.
That's not going to allow you to be explosive on offense. It's just not, and he's not a good enough shooter that he can just go hang out in the corner and be a knockdown shooter and play some defense. Like, he was a tenacious defender and really tough, but you can take advantage of that. And I'd rather like give Jeremy Lin a shot than try and bring in Isaiah Thomas. And again, like you said, that's nothing against IT. He had an incredible run in Boston and was good with the Kings and with the Suns, but he's just, if he's not going to be able to have his legs under him, that's a very significant problem for a player of his means.
If anybody can do it, obviously the determination that he showed in carving out the career that he did against all odds, maybe he can figure something out and become that knockdown shooter. Wouldn't put it past him. Don't think he's a great fit for the Warriors. Not sure he ever was, but I wish him all the best. As far as the lottery, and, you know, a bunch of numbers here, we know all this, right, Kyle? The Warriors have the 14th pick. That's their own pick.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a less than a 1% chance of it being one of the top four, but it is possible. And then as far as the Minnesota pick, if it conveys, it's most likely to be the 7th pick. 29.7% chance that it'll be the 7th pick. It figures most likely to end up somewhere between like 6th and 8th. So I know it's difficult to say because we don't know exactly who we're talking about, but the 7th pick and the 14th pick, you think that's something the Warriors have to work with, where if they don't trade the pick, they can upgrade the roster? I think so. I don't think you're going to find any transformational players there unless you're in the top five, but I think next year may be a year where they're kind of, for part of the year, serving two masters again, and I think their hand is forced. Young players, bring them in. You get to, you know, Davion Mitchell, and maybe we're building that bridge to the future while trying to win as many games as they can this year. It's not ideal, but I think that may be what they're having to do next year.
Yeah, and if they're picking 7 and 14th, that's two lottery picks. That's two darts at the dartboard.
Yeah.
They just need somebody who can contribute. Can you give me 15 minutes and hit 36% of your threes and play some defense? That's if you get two cracks at that and you hit one, they're in business. Now, 14 and 7, this may be a deep enough draft that 14 and 7, you can jump up to 5 if there's a player they really like that they want to go get at 5. So this is such a fascinating thing because, like you said, it's likely going to be 7 and 14, but if it's 4 and 14, or if it's I think it's like a less than 0.5% chance that they wind up with 1 and 4,
I
think is in there. Like, that obviously changes the conversation dramatically. Again, not going to happen.
It would.
But it is a mathematical possibility. So
yeah.
That's 8 and 14 is much different than 7 and 14 is much different than 4 and 14 is much different than 1 and 4. So
yeah.
In the event that they go 7 and 14, it wouldn't surprise me to see them try to move up, and if they can't, just take two swings there and see if they can't find a either backup point guard or a lengthy wing that can play some defense and shoot a little bit.
I want Iguodala.
Yes. If you can
probably get him. I don't think I do want him, but you could probably get him if you really want him.
He's a free agent, and I would not be shocked at all if they bring him back. But again, no, but that kind of role that he played, like stand in the corner, hang out, shoot some threes, make them at a high enough clip that people have to guard it, and hustle on defense. And if you get two guys instead of one, you have a better chance of finding a player.
By the way, where are you on
San Francisco?
Ben Simmons? Oh. If Ben Simmons is available, and I know they may win today, and they could win a championship, and if they do, they're not going to, you know, bust that thing up. Or they could lose, you know, in humiliating fashion today and decide, all right, this ain't going to work. If Ben Simmons were available, I know you'd have to give up a lot to get him. Would you be interested? Before you answer, the reason I ask, I just think with he and Draymond, I just think there's too much of a redundancy there, especially now and his confidence is so low. I don't know that Ben Simmons is worth taking that flyer on. If Ben Simmons is available, I don't think I want him.
If you can get Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
If you can get Ben Simmons Toast Crunch.
Yeah.
And you're. All right. Oh, boy.
All right.
It's
go
complicated.
Ahead.
All right. If they're trading for Ben Simmons, they're trading Draymond. Maybe not to the Sixers, but I think that if they are adding Ben Simmons, you cannot have him and Draymond on the floor together. I think Simmons can play the Draymond role, but I don't know how well his attitude and mindset would translate, because Draymond does so many intangible things, I think, off the floor that matter. I'm a pretty numbers and stats-oriented guy. Draymond does things that don't show up on the stat sheet that I'm not sure Ben Simmons would be able to do. I think Ben Simmons is an incredibly talented player, and if there's some team that wants to overpay you for Draymond and give you a crazy trade package for him and you move him and then can get Simmons to replace him, I think, okay, like that's fine. But I'm not going to sell the farm and then trade Draymond for peanuts just to get Ben Simmons in Golden
State.
What if
you... Gotcha. Yeah, on the text line here from the 408. Can't stand players that can't make free throws. Well, that's no problem. We just get Rick Barry to work with Simmons, and it'll go underhand, and that is taken care of. Poor Rick is like, why won't anyone do this? I can turn you into a good
Seriously?
Free throw shooter.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
it's unreal.
I'm not interested. Yeah, I don't want to. I'm not interested.
You're going to make them.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Yeah.
What's
how
more
about
embarrassing?
This?
Shooting free throws underhand or going hack a Ben with 9 minutes left in the second quarter?
Apparently the fear is, what if I degrade myself and go underhand and I still can't make them? I'm guessing that must be ultimately the reason why someone doesn't want to try it. Where do you go
crazy.
From there? I'm with you. I agree with you 100%. I think even, I read about this. I think Wilt Chamberlain for a while shot him underhand and then he went back to overhand and he was not a good foul shooter. But yeah, why would you not or go to a gym and don't even, you know, I don't want anyone to see this. I'm going to see how it works out. And then if you're making them,
exactly.
Why would you not just try it, right?
Exactly.
I'll try.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Practice for the offseason. Do nothing but shoot free throws underhand. And if you're making them at a 60% clip or whatever his career percentage is, then skip it.
Uh-huh.
But if you start drilling 90, 95% of them, why would you not make the change?
Yeah.
It's baffling.
And, you know, and Rick Barry has made that offer like to every player who's ever lived
yes.
since he retired. I will help you shoot free throws.
Yes.
Oh, and you know that he could. Yeah. Would you have any interest in Pascal Siakam? Pascal Siakam, long story short, shoulder surgery, off shoulder, his left shoulder. Makes a lot of money. I think he even makes more next year than Wiggins. I don't know how many years he signed for. Fell out of favor there. Well, at least got into it with his coach last year. What if it was, hey, Wiggins, you know, the Maple Jordan up north for Pascal Siakam? I think Siakam has more. I think he still has a higher ceiling than Wiggins. I don't know that it would be worth the risk. But if you really are intent on going out and making a swing for somebody, it might be, you know, that might be about as best as you could do here.
I didn't realize Pascal Siakam and Andrew Wiggins were the same age. I'm out on that.
Okay. I think most people are.
And again, I think it's because you would then have to move Draymond. Siakam doesn't shoot the three well enough for me to be confident that he can coexist.
He has in the past, though, Kyle, and I know it sounds like you have the numbers there, and you can see he was, and then, like, the last 2 years, especially last year, it's like, nope, something happened. He must be shooting with the wrong hand or something. But in the past, he's shown that he can knock down that shot. I'm not sure what happened. So, yeah, there are a lot of question marks. You're right.
So he was 36.9% on less than three attempts in 2018-19, the year they won the title.
Right.
And then he went to six attempts a game last year and hit him at 35.9%.
Yeah, okay.
But then this year he goes four and a half attempts a game at less than 30%.
I know.
And that's just too big of a risk. I think Andrew Wiggins possibly brings more because he brings less, if that makes sense. Like he's
is that a Canadian thing? I didn't quite understand. Is that like a Canadian proverb or something?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Bring more by bringing less. Sorry.
Yeah.
No.
Dollars. He makes a lot of dollars too.
He can hang out in the corner. He's going to play awesome defense, and we saw him knock down threes at a career high rate last year, and play some offense when they really needed him to be a primary scorer, especially later in the year. I think as he got more comfortable and into the play-in situations, I want to see what Andrew Wiggins can do with yet more time to grow here. If Pascal Siakam had had his 2019-2020 season again this year, I'd feel maybe a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
I fear that Siakam might be touching his ceiling in a way that Wiggins hasn't quite gotten yet.
I understand what you're saying. A lot of risk involved. The reason why it would hold some appeal to me is because I think Wiggins, we know what he's going to be now, and it's like, not bad. And I think the Warriors are thrilled with the year he had, but I still feel like Pascal Siakam may have a little more room in his ceiling, but mm-hmm. it's too much risk. Yeah. If you're desperate to go out and add talent, I would look at that, but I don't think it ultimately makes sense. On the text line here from the 925, guys, welcome Kyle. I don't know what's that about.
To Scrub Sunday. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome Kyle. Sign and trade Kelly for Sabonis. I just don't know why in the world Indiana would. What do you want? We get Kelly Oubre, we're going to give you Domantas Sabonis. I just don't see that happening. I know there's a lot of turmoil in Indiana involving their coach, but I don't see them deciding to part ways with Domantas Sabonis. If they did, I'd be very interested, but I don't think so.
I think so. A couple things on him. One, I think them firing Bjorkgren means that all their players are going to stay.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they fired him, because they didn't want Sabonis and Malcolm Brogdon going to the front office and saying, hey, we're out. We're not mm-hmm. playing for this guy. Because I didn't realize that Sabonis was like a near triple-double the last 3 years.
He's amazing. Yeah, at least numbers-wise. I know you're a numbers guy. He puts up big numbers.
Amazing.
Yeah, he doesn't shoot the three very well, but he plays good defense, and he's going to give you 20 a game. He's going to pull down 12 boards and dish out 5 or 6 assists. Like, that's awesome. But I don't foresee Indiana trading him. He's still only 24 years old, and mm-hmm. he's been in the league for 5 years. I can't imagine that Indiana's going to trade him for anything less than a King's ransom.
Right. And let's not forget, you know, Kelly Oubre was available at the deadline. And as far as we know, like, one of the best offers, if not the best offer the Warriors got for him, was the Nets said, hey, you can have Dinwiddie. He can't play this year. He's hurt. But you can have him, and then he's going to be a free agent, and you can give us Oubre. That was like the best, as far as we know, it's like
right.
the best offers they had. So I don't know how much demand there is for Kelly Oubre. Who knows? Maybe I think there's a very slim chance that he's back next year, especially if the Warriors look around and they realize, well, Clay may not be ready to go. But I don't think. I think we've seen the last of Kelly Oubre. And there, you speaking of numbers, I mean, his numbers after that rough start were pretty good. But ultimately, it's like anyone who watches, it's, yeah. And I was very high on Kelly Oubre, but you watch the Warriors and watch his fit and say, yeah, that don't quite work, right?
Yeah, and especially with his kind of reaction to the idea that he would come off the bench, maybe there will be a change of heart there. Maybe he explores the free agent market and realizes that it's not what he thinks it is, and he decides that his best chance to win is with Golden State, and maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a team that cashes him out more so than the Warriors will want to, and they're going to allow him to start and play, you know, big minutes. The Warriors would have him playing big minutes too. It would just be not in a quote-unquote starting role. I think the Warriors want to keep him, but I can't imagine they're going to bend over backwards to make Kelly Oubre happy.
Question. How in the world, and again, I am an Oubre fan. I was excited when he came here, and it's been difficult for me to come to terms with the fact that it didn't work out. But question, how did Kelly Oubre get that CarMax commercial? You know, Steph does those commercials.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Chris Paul, I think he's great in the All-State. Dame Lillard used to do those. Those are hilarious. But then, you know, you got the CarMax commercials, and it's Steph, and he's buying a car, and Steph. Yeah. And then it's the Papa Tsunami one. It's like, that's great for him, but how did he get a commercial? Kyle, like, I don't understand it.
Trying to take advantage of the fact that Kelly Oubre looks like a supermodel, I think.
I guess
maybe
so.
Maybe a little bit. But it's not like Golden State was in the playoffs making a playoff run or something like that. And then the tsunami poppy thing is his like Twitter handle and maybe his Instagram handle.
Right.
That's such a niche like cut.
Thank you.
My folks are watching that. They don't care. Like people.
They don't want to rush out to CarMax when they see that Tsunami Poppy is doing the endorsements.
And maybe it's directed, you know, towards. But dude, look, is the average NBA fan that CarMax is trying to reach with this commercial? Is the average NBA fan going, man, I need a car. What do I get? Is that Kelly Oubre? Tsunami Poppy himself?
Yeah.
I gotta go to CarMax.
Hell yeah.
I mean, good for him. I'm happy for him. But it is one of those things where I just wondered, well, wait a minute. How did that happen?
Shouts to Kelly Oubre's agent for getting him that bag, though. That's big time.
I think you're right. It's those model good looks. That must be the trick. All right, coming up next, as promised, are we going to see more of Trey Lance this year than the 49ers have led us to believe? That's coming up on this Father's Day with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Madsen next, 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.